weeks ago. We're going to be doing a service here on Saturday next week at 2 o'clock for Jackie Sue. And I know there'll be a lot of you guys that don't know Jackie. She's been to church a few times when she was here visiting, but we know Judy. So if you can be here at all during that service, that'd be great. It'd be an encouragement to Judy. We'll be doing that at 2 o'clock. There's not going to be a meal. They don't want a meal. So we're going to let them have their wishes. We won't be cooking for them, but nonetheless, that'll be a 2 o'clock afternoon service. And then also coming up the following week on Saturday is going to be a baby shower for Finley Blake Trunkey. That is Michael and Celeste's little girl that's going to be coming into the world soon. And that's going to be at our house at 10:30 on the 19th of August. The registration for that is at Rattle Dazzle and online at Baby List, okay? All right, with that being said, remind you that tomorrow kicks off our Vacation Bible School. It's gonna be a big night tomorrow night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And we need all the help we can get. We really need all the enthusiasm we can get. We've got plenty of help. But if you can't make it, don't worry about it. But if you can make it, come be a part of that with us, especially on Wednesday night. We're going to be having a hot dog cookout. We'd love for you to come eat with us. And hopefully we'll have some parents of some of the children here and be able to mix and mingle and make some connections there on Wednesday night. Okay, it's going to be 7 to 9. And come be a part of that with us, okay? With that being said, we told you this morning we're going to be having a very special guest tonight, and that's Misha Dean, our missionary to the Ukraine, and so I'm going to turn it right over to her, okay?
He went to Ukraine with me, and last time I talked to y'all was in October. Oh, move it down. Yeah. I was here, I talked to y'all in October of 21, and he had just, I had brought him back from his three-month trip in Ukraine. And so we're going to sing a song for y'all this evening in Ukrainian, and it will be familiar to you. And I'll point to you at some point while we're singing, if I remember. The first verse, it's translated just like it is in English. But the second verse that we're going to sing, I really, really like it. It's just got special words. So.
Ready? Я колін прагне до потоків, так душа моя прагне тебе. Я бажаю тобі сказати, що я так люблю тебе. Ти один моє серце знаєш, і в нього ти любов вливаєш. Я бажаю тобі сказати, що я так люблю тебе. На тебе лиш моя надія, мій Господь, мій Спаситель, мій Цар. І тебе хочу я хвалити, о, прийми мій щирий дар. Ти один моє серце знаєш, і в нього ти любов вливаєш. Я бажаю тобі сказати, що я так люблю тебе. Я бажаю тобі сказати, що я так люблю тебе.
We'll go on to the next slide. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Okay. This is so much better. I'm a wanderer sometimes. Okay. So I think everybody in the world knows where Ukraine is, but just in case, there it is, the big green one. And of course, most of it is bordered by Belarus and Russia. And then, of course, you've got the Black Sea at the bottom. Before, I would just fly in and out of Ukraine. Now you can't do that. If you look on the live air radar of airplanes flying over Europe, Ukraine is completely dark. And there's reason for that. You fly in there, you're going to get shot down. So what I do now is I fly into Poland. And these are my lovely little friends that went with me last time, or actually I went with them, Doug and his daughter Megan. And you ride a train. So you fly in, you stay the night, you hop a train in Poland, you go part way, you get on another train, and you ride all night, and hopefully you get there by morning. So what used to be less than a day, about 24 hours, sometimes 17, if you got a really good ticket, it now takes a full 48 hours to get there. And you're lugging your own luggage. So whatever, and you know what everybody ordered for me this time? Peanut butter. You know how heavy peanut butter is? Oh, there's nobody, well, thankfully Doug was with me on the way, but on the way back, and they don't have elevators in Europe. It's stairs all the way up and all the way down. So anyway, that was quite a fun adventure. Now, we're going to go on. And when I was there, I got to go back to the orphanage. If you remember, maybe, with everything else, like the rest of the world, when COVID happened, I was no longer allowed to go to the orphanage. And so I would go into the village and hang out with the kids in the center. They would come out of the orphanage and we'd hang out. But I was not allowed on the orphanage property. This time, however, I was welcomed with open arms, and I even received a hug from the director. Crotchety old Viktor Andreevich hugged me. So we're going to go on and look through some of these pictures. What I'd like you to do, out on my table are a bunch of pictures. Some of these kiddos you've probably seen before, and some of them, I've done this before where there's pictures. Some of them, you may have the old picture, and you can try to find their new one out there now. Or while you're watching these videos, or these pictures, if there is a face that touches your heart, I would ask that you would, for today, commit to pray for that face before you pillow your head tonight. You're not going to remember all the names I throw at you. You're not going to remember how old they are. But my Heavenly Father knows every hair on their head. He knows exactly where they are right now. And they need your prayers. Some of my kiddos I've been able to see saved, but there's a whole lot of them that have yet to know Christ. So y'all can pick up a picture off my table, and or you can just grab one from here. So this is Marina, and we've got a little Sasha and Vika there. I'll go on. And I could name all these girls, but these are all pictures from my latest trip. These girls are all a year older than the last time I saw them. They were all here. Now they're all here. We'll go on. These are my three boys, Yarek, in the middle is Artyom, and little Bodya. This is Nastya and Anya. This is me with another Nastya, Tanya, and Sophia. And this was March 8th, which is International Women's Day, and it is a big deal in Ukraine. It's bigger than Mother's Day. And so they invited us to come up to the orphanage. The kids put on a big program, and we were the honored guests. My friend Lara and I, who does camps with me, we were the honored guest at this little whatever it was. It was so fun. I walked in the back door. They were all ready. All the kids were already dressed and everything. I walked in the back door, and those kids, they just could not hold it. They started coming to me, and the director said, okay, y'all have waited this long. You can wait another 30 minutes, and he made them go back. Anyway, it was precious to get to see my kiddos. This is the bomb shelter that they go to if there are sirens at any time. They go during the day, they go down and they have a little schoolroom. This used to be a place where they kept food, cold, and things like that. They've turned it into a little school. In the next picture, they can house up to 40 children. Now what they've done is they have sent any children that have living relatives or a place to go, they send them away every day after school. Some of the kids actually live in the village, so they have homes to go to. They just use the school as just a school. But they have 35 kiddos that actually live on orphanage property now, and that's where they sleep when the bombs are coming. These next few pictures are my graduates. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. We've got Sasha. No, that's Dima. Sorry. And then there's me with Tolik and Sergey. I'll go on. This is Nadia. This is one of my girls. She has two little daughters. They're kind of my, I guess you could say, granddaughters. Yeah, I could be that old. Anyway, and then these are two of my girls. Lalita, I talked to you all about her last time. She was one of my girls that got saved at our last camp. And Natasha, who has yet to accept Christ. Mrs. Marina and her older sister, Alona, neither one have accepted Christ yet. And then I'd like to pause right here. These are my two boys. These are like my sons, Sasha and Sergey. I've known them both since they were 9 years old. And Sergey's on this side, kind of looks like he's got the wet hair and a little bit of attitude. That boy's got a lot of attitude. Anyway, Sergey, both of them need a lot of prayer, but Sergey is struggling greatly. His father passed away while I was there, and I was very thankful to be there, but he has fallen into a despair, and he cannot get neither one of them can get official work, because once you get official work, the army knows about you, and they will conscript you into the army. And so he doesn't want to get official work, so he has to find some way to live. Well, he's not doing that right now. And thankfully, through some help of some churches, I'm able to continue paying my rent in Ukraine, and so they're living in my apartment there right now. Sasha, he thought he could get out of the country on a medical leave, thank you. He had surgery on his shoulder the week after I got there, thinking that he would get medical leave. Well, they gave him all the paperwork except one document. He got all the way to the border, and they said, no, you have to have this document, and they will not give him that document. So not only is he upset that he went ahead and had the shoulder surgery that he's having to fight with getting better from, but he is now no longer flying under the radar of the military. In October, his 6 months are up. So please pray that they don't take my boy. I don't know how I'm going to handle that, but I handled everything else so far, and I just have to trust. This is Kolya and Maxim. Kolya, I was able to help him get out of Ukraine. He is a true orphan. He is now in Poland. He was 17 when the war started, so he was able to get out of the country. Maxim is, I'm guessing now, is still in Odessa. That was the last I heard of him. It's been about 8 months since I have heard anything from Maxim, and any of my kids have heard from him, so I don't know about him. Kolya, the last time I saw him was two Christmases ago. This was Christmas 22, before the war. I had my regular graduate Christmas. Kids come over for several days. Girls hang out with me, and the guys hang out at a member of my church, their house, and we just have some fun. We made homemade pizza this night. Go on. And our church was having a kind of like a garage sale slash bake sale to raise money to build our Sunday school rooms. And so this was our craft for the weekend, was to make these little, we put candy in these little thingies that you pull apart. Anyway, so that was what we did Saturday evening, getting these ready. And that was really cool to see the kids being willing to spend their time to do that. And the next morning we show up with this basket of stuff. It was really fun. And then no-bake cookies. It's just fun. This was February 12th, 22. The last day I had a group of folks at my house. We were celebrating Lara's birthday. And that following Wednesday, I got on a plane, came back to America. Wasn't that simple, but we did it. And then this happened, February 24th, exactly a week later, 5:07 a.m., bombs went off all across the country. These were not bombs falling from the sky. These were saboteurs that were strategically placed throughout the country for bombs to go off at the exact moment, everywhere. Buildings had been marked. This had been planned for many, many years for this very moment to happen. These next few pictures we're going to go through. Are y'all okay with this next little bit? Okay. This is in a city called Irpin. You might have heard about it. It was one of the worst cities that was hit. It's just north of Kiev. I drove through there on my trip. This next picture is in the area just a few blocks from my church. The next one is also in that neighborhood. These next three pictures are houses on the road to Komarivka that we go down every day. This is a village that was hit really hard. I don't think on this picture you can see, but in the fence right there, there's a whole bunch of holes. That's just bullet holes. The fences that had the word people or children written on them, those were the holiest.
There were forests. The trunks didn't stand any higher than me, just raised to the ground. I don't understand it. Anyway, this one used to be a house. Now, these next two videos my boy Sasha sent me in June, these are things that he saw. The first one is a video. He's on the main square in the middle of Kiev, the capital where I live, and he is seeing bombs fly in, and he'll say, it's flying, it's incoming. And then the second one is our defense systems flying to chase that bomb to shoot it up to whatever.
Вон летит, 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 летит. Вон сверху только что была бомба. О-о-о. Пошла вторая. Да-да-да, ну ПВО у нас есть ракеты. Капец,
громко. This is Sasha running from my apartment. I see the trees. He's running from my apartment down to the subway, which when you walk, it's about a 10-minute walk. I have no idea how quickly he did it running. But some of the things he said, so he's just exclaiming different, like, oh my goodness, how can this be? This is the worst. And at one point he says, it's so loud, do you hear it? So I don't want to say those things while you hear the video. I just want you to experience what he experienced that night. Go ahead.
Капец громко. Жесть, где ты? Слышишь? Жесть! Я в метро.
This is what they are experiencing nearly every single day. When I was there in March and April, it was quiet. There were only five missiles and drones that flew in. And, wow, how did I forget about this picture? Just kind of caught me. This is a hotel, or used to be a hotel, about four blocks from where I live, where my apartment is. And my boys heard this one. This actually happened in February. And I took this picture walking around the neighborhood. A missile did not hit this. What happens is when the missile comes in and our defenses actually break it apart, those pieces have to go somewhere. They land somewhere. They land in all kinds of places. And this was just a piece of one of those missiles that landed in this hotel. This is what's happening to my people all the time. Whew, sorry. Okay, now we're going to move on to a little bit more positive stuff. Back into ministry stuff. This is my church a few years before the war. I would say we're down to maybe half that now. Most of those people are no longer in Ukraine. We have some of them that are in America. I actually got to see some when I was on my trip to New England area. I went to Philadelphia and to a Ukrainian church there, and I got to see some of my friends and people from Ukraine. I also went through St. Louis and got to see some of my friends there. It was amazing. Sad, but amazing. Anyway, our church is growing in a different way. We've lost a lot of leaders to some to the war. Not lost. They've moved. Some of our people in the military, some are in Eastern Ukraine or Western Ukraine in the mountains. Many, many people in Europe, and like I said, a few in America. One of the things our church is doing is from 9 in the morning to 9 at night every single day, we have volunteers come in. Doesn't have to be people, it can be anybody from the community. And the lady in the pink shirt, it's kind of hard to see, blonde lady over there, her name is Nadia. And we were there, we call them, I can't remember what you call it, just tying these little knots on these. And these actually go to a soldier, a member of our church. We send these nets, and we also make candles for the soldiers because they don't have flashlights. And if they did have flashlights, their batteries would go out. Where would they get new batteries? So we send candles down to them. We send supplies to our members that are in the military, and they use them in their units. Anyway, so Nadia, she needed a ride home. And I thought she was a new member of the church that I didn't know. And one of my friends said, hey, can you take her, give her a ride home? And I'm like, sure. So we rode home, 25 minutes in the car. That car is my best platform. I've got them trapped in there. Anyway, I found out really, really quickly that she was not a believer. Her son and her husband are serving in the military, and she moved from the south up to Kiev. And so we were talking to her and visiting with her about the Lord. And she said, you know, I was looking for something to do to keep me busy. And I saw that a church was helping the military. That didn't sound right. She said, so I went and investigated. And she loves our church. She loves the people. She's starting to come to the services and things. So would y'all pray for Nadia? She has yet to accept Christ, but there's that word yet. It's a powerful one. This is my pastor. He's a trooper. My pastor and his wife, Tanya. He's my age, and we're probably both graying together, but he grayed really fast in 1 year. Anyway, they are a hoot. We hung out together and went and visited churches together. You'll get to see one of those in a few minutes. We'll go on. This is my English club. I did 6 weeks of English with my older adult, young adult and into adult there. And then the next one is my kid English club, which will continue. Both of those will continue when I go back. And the English club is really interesting because one of the girls, she was there faithfully every week. And I thought she was a new kid of the youth. Found out the last night I was taking her home. And we dropped her off first and then dropped off her friend who had invited her. And she told me, she said, Misha, that her friend is a member of our church. She said, Misha, she has never darkened the door of a church. She would not do it. But because you were a native speaker and she wanted to learn English, she's coming. And I think we're talking her into, because she's met people in the youth group, we're talking her into actually coming to a church service. So this outreach stuff is pretty powerful. Anyway, so now this is another part. These are kiddos that have lost a parent. We started a ministry at Easter for spouses and children that have lost someone in the war. We had a lot of young women with children, and we also had young men who are now raising their children. And so what we do is we have, they've continued this ministry. Here we had a puppet show, and then my pastor is, I think the next one, yeah, my pastor is bringing a lesson. He does a painting thing. It's really cool what he does. But anyway, what they do is the ladies come in and do Bible study, and then they go and they work on making the nets and the candles. And one of the things I will be doing is working with the kids when I get back. And we have all big kinds of big plans for this. This is one of the churches that was under occupation. The town was under occupation, and it was terrible stories. I heard so many terrible stories, but it was amazing. We'll go on to the next picture. This is the pastor's wife and daughters from that church, and the church actually said, please leave. Take your daughters and leave, because young women were being targeted. My mouth cannot say some of the words that they did to those people. And so the church said, please take your wife and your daughters and leave. They left with backpacks on their backs with clothes, and they had no food at this time. They had already eaten the one loaf of bread that was brought to them on March 8th. And the mom found a bag of raisins. That's what they lived on for 3 days. She and her husband did not eat. They gave the kids, rationed out raisins to the kids for 3 days until they were able to walk through the occupied territory and meet up with my pastor and his wife and one of our fellows from the church. And they drove them to our church. They stayed there for a while and then went on to live with relatives for a couple of months until the town they were in was freed and they were able to go home. We got to go visit that church, be in that church service. I got to speak there. I got to sing there, listen to my pastor bring the message. And it just encouraged those people. And that's one of the ministries. We did that in several different churches while I was there. We'll go on. This is fun, guys. Okay, this is a daughter church of our church that through COVID and now the war, everything, it has basically dried up and died. But we own this land and we own this building. This building was set for February of 22. I was going to start Sunday school, go up into this village, start Sunday school, have it 2 weeks a month. with a team from our church. The pipes busted the first part of February. We couldn't do it. Pastor said, okay, when it thaws, which is the end of March, we'll fix the pipes and we will start Sunday school there, and we're going to get this church going again. Well, February 20th, 24th happened, but this is still there. And the idea is to go in there, fix this place up. The next picture, this is what used to be a barn, basically. And we want to turn these into small hotel rooms, make the house livable. And the next one is the outdoor plumbing. We want to make indoor plumbing so that it's actually livable. And what we'll do with the land is we will use it as a campground and a church. And so this is the idea. We'll start the Sunday school, do camps out there to draw people in. Then we have a parcel of land that is kind of across the street and down the way a little bit. It's perfect for field day and games and whatever else we want to do. And I've already talked to some people in churches, one from Maine, one from Gatesville, some other folks that are just brave enough or stupid enough or crazy enough, whatever you want to call us, to go over there. We're going to try to get a trip planned for next summer to go over there and work on this building and do camp out there, do tent meetings in the evenings and stuff. This is just in the beginning stages, but I've got folks that are saying, please, let us come. We can't fight, but we can go and we can prepare a place where y'all can do ministry. I'm so excited. Anyway, I forgot what the next picture is. Okay, now these are just some of my folks. This is Lena, my language teacher. She is precious. She is also Jacob's language teacher. And what did you say she tries to do in every lesson? That's her goal. If she can make you cry, she's taught you something. Lena is, her father was, her grandfather, she lived with her grandparents. Her grandfather was a general in the Soviet Army. She is a strong woman. She called me crying last week. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. She can't leave because she won't leave her husband. And she said, Misha, people don't know what's happening. Please tell them. Please tell people what's happening. We can't change it, but we can pray for them. I'm praying for her peace. I'm praying that God will give her comfort like no one else can. And I hear the despair in their voices. They're tired. They don't get to sleep at night because this goes on and on. Normally right now, I would be hearing an air raid siren alert on my telephone. But this must be one of the days the enemy's sleeping. I don't know. We'll go on. This is one of my interpreters. She's now living in Poland. I got to see her on my trip when I took my car out. That's a fun story. I'll have to tell you that someday. And this is our youth pastor and his little wife. This is Slavik and Bogdana. They're just dear friends of mine. And this is my little brother, Petya. My car is actually hanging out with him right now. He's one of those guys, rain, shine, day, night, you give him a holler and he is right there. And then we're going to pause here. These are right, my right-hand people. Please do not go on to the next slides, no matter what my... Yeah, thank you. Okay, so these are my right-hand people. This is Zhanna and Gleb. God blessed me with them 7 years ago. I wouldn't be able to do what I've been able to do without them. They are amazing with kids. Zhanna is the one that led Lalita to the Lord and has worked with so many of our kids. So I ask that you guys would pray for them. I talked to Zhanna on Friday. I've never heard her voice like that. And I called her and I was like, Zhanna, I hear there's 12 planes headed your way and they're loaded down. Are y'all going to the subway? She said, no, Misha. She said, we have work. They put in air conditioning when they have the work. And she said, we got work to do. We can't not work. I said, but Zhanna, and they work up on these skyscrapers and stuff. And I'm like, Zhanna, you have to. And she said, Misha, we can't. Just pray that it doesn't come our direction. And this is what they live with every day. I don't understand it, but I guess, I mean, they don't have another choice. Anyway, so what I would like is right now I'd ask you, Brother Roy, to pause the video recording so that I can show you the next four and last pictures. These four pictures are very precious people to me. The first one is Ilya. Ilya is a young man that works in our youth department. He's one of our preachers. We rotate out. We have two sermons every Sunday, and they rotate out the first sermon, and Elia is one that does it often. He speaks Ukrainian. When we first met, we didn't understand each other, but we clicked, and we've been friends ever since. Now I can understand him. His wife is our church pianist. When I was there in April, he had fought it for 6 months. He said, "I cannot fight. I will not fight. You can take me, but I will not kill another person." And so when I was there in April, they took him into the military, but they put him on the computers at the defense area. It's about an hour south of Kiev. And so would you guys pray for Ilya and Ira? They have a little daughter, Marina. She just turned 3 years old. This is very, very difficult for him, even pointing those computers to shoot down other people. It's just very difficult for him. He's really struggling, but he is using this time, and I hear stories about how he's sharing the gospel where he is with those guys. The next one, this young girl is Alia. I do not know her father's name. I was not able to meet him. He was on the front lines while I was there. She sent me this picture in June. She said, "Papa's home. Thank you for praying. He's home for 3 months." And so if you guys would pray for her father, he will go. He's the one that we send the nets and the candles and food to. The next one, I've known this young man since he was 12 years old. He grew up in our youth group. His name is Pasha. I got to see him that day simply because his mother was getting married the second time. And he was able to walk her down the aisle. The military gave him leave to come, and so I got to take his picture that day. So please pray for Sasha. He's down in the heat of it, Pasha. He's down in the heat of it as well. And then this last one, a very familiar name, if you know me at all, his name is Petro. Petro, we've been praying for many, many years, I think even when we were in the other building. This young man grew up in the Komarivka orphanage. I met him on my very first trip to the orphanage, and I have shared the gospel with him over and over. His family, he got married, took his little wife, and they lived.